Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 42 degrees with intermittent light rain falling this morning. It's Thursday, May 17th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Commander Ward Sandlin took over as commanding officer of Air Station Sitka yesterday. The top job changes over every 2 years. Sandlin replaces Commander Doug Cameron, who will serve as Chief of Incident Management for a region stretching from New Jersey to North Carolina. As KCAW's Ed Ronco reports, Cameron's time at the 120-person station was marked by tragedy, but also by a strengthening of ties with the larger community.
They gathered in the cavernous hangar at Air Station Sitka in front of a floor-to-ceiling American flag.
Arms!
Coast Guard officers in their formal uniforms, family members holding flowers, members of the community. This was a celebration of the change of command, a military ceremony full of pomp and circumstance, but also reflection.
Like most that have served here, I have no doubt that when my Coast Guard career ends, this will be the tour that I remember the most.
Commander Doug Cameron took charge of Air Station Sitka in July 2010. It was just 1 week later that a helicopter crashed off the coast of Washington, claiming the lives of three people from Air Station Sitka.
Together as a community and as an air station, somehow we managed to get through the light nightmare of losing three of our own. I know the day will never come that I don't think of Sean, Brett, and Adam. And I know I'm not alone. I will miss each and every one of you. I take comfort in the knowledge that I am better for having known you. And I know that together we have made a difference.
As attendees mingled after the ceremony, Cameron said that the events of July 2010 set the tone for his entire tour of duty at Air Station Sitka.
The Coast Guard is always a close-knit group of people, so I think we probably would have been close anyway, but it really brought us closer to the town. Because, I had just arrived here. I didn't really know anybody in the town that well. And they absolutely came to our rescue and helped us with everything at every turn. It was almost overwhelming to experience something like that. And so I immediately felt a really close, tight-knit bond with the town. And it was because of that that I did.
There was reflection at the ceremony, but also warm words of congratulations. City officials and members of the public attended with a reception afterward, and little cupcakes that were designed to look like helicopters. Cameron could barely take five steps before people approached him with well wishes.
Great working with you. Pleasure.
Likewise. You guys were there every time.
He says Sitka is a coveted duty station among Coast Guard aviators.
We make sure we get the best pilots here. We make sure every pilot that comes here is on at least their second tour. And so it's like stepping up to the big leagues when you come here. Everybody is excited to be here and to be part of that, and it kind of sets the tone of the unit.
It's a tone not lost on the new commanding officer.
I keep telling people that really I feel like I won the lottery. This is within the community that I'm in, the H-60 community. I now have the dream job, and I couldn't be happier.
Commander Ward Sandlin did a tour of duty at Air Station Kodiak and also lived in Kodiak when he was a boy, and his dad was in the Coast Guard. He served as a pilot instructor, and has worked at Coast Guard headquarters in Washington, D.C. He comes to Sitka directly from Air Station Clearwater in Florida, where he was operations officer. This is his first command.
The men and women at the air station here at Sitka are unparalleled. They're absolutely some of the best we have, and I'm looking forward to working with them. I'm so excited to be working with the people in town. I've heard nothing but great things about the support that we get from the town of Sitka, and it's just really, it's a relationship between the air station and the town that really is unmatched anywhere else within the Coast Guard, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Coast Guard air stations normally change commanders every 2 years or so. Rear Admiral Thomas Ostebo is commander of the Coast Guard in Alaska. He says the leadership rotates because there are a lot of officers and not a lot of command jobs.
If these were to be 4, 5, or 6 year tours, people would not have the opportunity to experience what command's all about, and that's a big part of being a military officer. I will add that the other services change even faster than the Coast Guard.
As for Commander Cameron, he's off to Virginia and is due to become Captain Cameron soon. He'll serve as chief of incident management for a region stretching from New Jersey to North Carolina. He said he's coming to terms with his new assignment behind a desk instead of in the cockpit.
I love to fly. I love to fly Coast Guard helicopters and to do search and rescue. And so my next job is a promotion, and it's a great job, and I'm very excited about going there. But who would want to leave this?
Cameron said he'll be in town for a few more weeks to let his kids finish out the school year. Sandlin, meanwhile, says his wife and his daughter and son arrived earlier this week and that he's looking forward to transitioning into Sitka life. He also adds that you might have seen him around town already, breaking in his new pair of extra tufts. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
The theme for this year's 4th of July celebration in Sitka will be communications through the years. Ken Fate, the general manager of Raven Radio, made the announcement at this week's meeting of the Sitka Chamber of Commerce yesterday. Fate told the chamber, which sponsors the 4th of July event, that he had only just learned that he and his three predecessors at KCAW would serve as grand marshals for this year's parade. Now he's looking for a suitable ride for himself, Lily Herwald, Barnaby Dow, and Rich McClear.
Does anybody have a Corvette or a convertible they want to donate to the cause?
Fate went on to tell the chamber about KCAW's 30-year history and its connections, both social and financial, to the community. He reminded the audience that Raven Radio broadcasts 49 programs a week, hosted by 65 community volunteers. Another 50 volunteers made up the substitute roster. Fate corrected the common misconception that KCAW is owned by National Public Radio, or the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. He said Raven Radio's license is owned by its membership, the listeners who support the station financially during its twice-yearly fund drives.
Some folks think of public radio as something that is brought to a community from the outside. And I just want to make very clear that Raven Radio is of, by, and for Sitka.
Fate stressed the economic impact of the station. It brings in almost $300,000 in federal funding annually from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and generates another $200,000 in business underwriting and memberships. The station owns the 104-year-old cable house and has leveraged grants from the Rural Development Administration, the Rasmussen Foundation, and other agencies to renovate the building from top to bottom using local contractors exclusively. Fate said Raven Radio is successful because Sitka is successful. He said the station was integral to the community's vibrancy, especially its local news service.
News reporting, having a daily newscast, having a local newspaper that's locally owned, having a local radio station with a daily newscast and two full-time news people, it helps a community, any community, and ours is the fortunate topic of today, is that it helps a community be introspective, democratic, and thrive. And that's one of the reasons that I'm here and working the job that I do, is that I feel passionately that it's not just something that occurs. A healthy community relies and depends on looking at itself and all of the good and bad that it does in a neutral voice, but in an all-inclusive way, so that every voice of the community is welcome.
Fate said the station has made considerable efforts to make sure those voices and the news are heard, even in dire circumstances. Emergency generators recently have been installed at both the cable house and at the station's transmitter site on Chaponsky Island, so city power outages will no longer knock KCAW off the air. And if Sitka were ever inundated, as northeastern Japan was 14 months ago, the station now has a portable transmitter called Radio to Go that can run off of a car battery. Finally, Fate said that Raven Radio's internet presence had dramatically expanded the station's reach. The station's website receives over 2,000 unique visitors a week. At least 500 unique listeners per week stream the station online. An audience member asked Fate if KCAW's growing web audience would dilute Raven Radio's programming.
I think that comment defines one of our next great challenges, in that as our audience has been Southeast Alaska, and now that audience has the potential and the reality of being worldwide, how do we, or do we, change the programming? And if so, or if not, why? And so that's something that the first step is really to understand that that's a distinction. If you're a program director, The question is, who are you programming to, and why? And just realizing that the game table has changed is the most important thing for us to do. So it's just started. We do know that, and we'll be evaluating how to proceed to best protect what we have and also to grow what we might want to get.
Raven Radio General Manager Ken Fate addressing the Sitka Chamber of Commerce yesterday. You can listen to Fate's address in its entirety at our website, kcaw.org. One of the planet's largest animals drowned after getting its baleen hooked on the anchor chain of a fishing vessel. The 60-foot fin whale was feeding April 17th in Uyak Bay, about 60 miles southwest of Kodiak. The whale's baleen got caught on the chain of a 48-foot fishing vessel and wasn't able to get loose. Kate Wynn is a marine mammal specialist with the University of Alaska Marine Advisory Program. She says when the whale hit the line, it towed the boat sideways for a bit, and the ship took on water for a few seconds. Wynn says while the whale drowned, it also could have ended poorly for the fishing boat and the crew, too. Public art for the new Ketchikan Public Library could include a Northwest Coast-style medallion by master carver Nathan Jackson. The 4-foot circular panel is one of 4 art pieces proposed for the building now under construction. A local committee also chose a suspended piece called A Trip to the Library that would depict a young book lover who has tripped while carrying books. Metal sculptures were proposed for 3 I-beam columns. Fantasy Tree, proposed by 4 fiber artists, was proposed for a 4th column. The committee has a budget of just more than $69,000 for artwork. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka NPA calls for mostly cloudy skies, isolated sprinkles this afternoon, highs around 51. Northwest winds to 10 miles per hour, increasing to 15 this afternoon. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.